You know, as I was sitting there listening to everybody sing and play, you know, if you have a gift that God's given you, you ought to use it. I don't know how many people out here that aren't up here that have a gift to sing. You need to use it for God. Some of you may have a gift to play an instrument. Don't go to Hollywood and Nashville and use it to make money. Come up here and use it for God. The greatest way you can use your gift is to glorify God and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. So if there is somebody out here and you know you have a gift to play, you know you have a gift to sing, use it to glorify God. If you have your Bibles this morning, I do invite you to go to Mark chapter number 1. The Gospel of Mark is where we'll be looking at this morning. We've got a lot coming up here in our church. Like I said, if you want to be a part of the Vacation Bible School, and if you're able next week, make sure you come to our meeting. We're just going to be planning everything that's going to be going on. And you know, there's a lot of people in our community that need to be reached. One of the greatest ways we can reach them is through Vacation Bible School. A lot of you went to Vacation Bible School growing up, and you probably still remember it. I still remember going with my friends and some of my brothers to Vacation Bible School. So if you do want to be a part of that, you make sure you come. And if not, be praying that God will touch it this year. And also, before we get into it, we had a youth meeting last week about going to youth camp this summer. And the dates are going to be June the 24th through June the 27th. They'll be going to Oneonta Christian Camp there. So June the 24th through June the 27th. I did want to tell you that. So, and if there's anybody in here that wants to go to youth camp but you didn't come last week, see me or see somebody else and tell them you want to go, and we'll get you the information to go, okay? All right. Everybody in the Gospel of Mark, find your place in verse number 14, and we'll begin reading through verse number 20. The Bible says, "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel.' Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, 'Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men.' And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him." Father, we thank you for your word this morning. God, just thank you for this time of worship and praise that we've already had to you. But God, I pray right now that as we take your word and open it and expound on what you've revealed to us, Lord, I pray that you will open up each heart that the word might fall on good ground, that it might bring forth fruit in our lives. And Lord, I just pray that they will not receive it as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, that it might work in us and challenge us and help us today. And Lord, we love you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, did you know what the greatest selling book in 2019 was? It was this Bible that I hold in my hand this morning. And you know, I'm so thankful that no matter how bad our world is getting, that the Bible is still around. I'm so thankful for my Bible this morning. You know, they can take it out of the schools, they can take it some of out of the government buildings, but I'm so thankful they cannot take it out of this world. The Bible says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord shall endure forever." And you know, when you open up to the New Testament of your Bible, you'll find four of the greatest stories that's ever been told. And the four Gospels contain the story of the greatest man who ever lived. It contains the greatest death that has ever died, and it contains the greatest resurrection that anybody has ever had. These four Gospels tell the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful we have it to learn about Jesus and how He walked, how He died on this earth. But you know, you've heard the term before, the synoptic Gospels. That's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They all kind of are around the same. They tell the same events that happened a little bit. But John is a whole lot different than all of them. John tells a whole lot different stories than Matthew, Mark, and Luke do. But you know, there's only one gospel. There's not four gospels. These four gospels are the books that tell the one gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So there's only one gospel. But all these four books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all have four different perspectives. They tell the story and they tell the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they actually, if you'll study it, they all have four different themes in mind. They all have four different reasons for writing the gospel. And you can actually find the reason they write it in the very first verse of each book. Matthew chapter number 1 says, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." So what Matthew wants to do is he wants to write to the Jews and say, yeah, the two greatest Jews in the Old Testament is Abraham and David, but I'm here to write to you to tell you there's a greater one that's now come, and that is Jesus Christ. And he wants to show his readers that Jesus has fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies that have talked about His first coming. So what Matthew wants to do is he wants to show his readers that Jesus is the promised Messiah. Now you get to Luke chapter 1 verse 1. Luke is kind of different than all of them. Luke is just writing to one man, he says. A man named Theophilus. Theophilus, now that's in our name of boys. I'm just kidding, it's not. If anybody knows a man named Theophilus, that's all right. But anyway, Luke is writing to a man named Theophilus and he says, you know, I know you've heard the story of Jesus Christ, but what I want to do for you is I want to set in order an account of His life. And you know, in the Gospel of Luke, it tells us all about the birth of Christ more than any other Gospel. And even after the resurrection, it shows us them disciples that were on the Emmaus Road. So Luke literally lines out everything that happened nearly in Christ's life. But then you get to everybody's, most of everybody's favorite, the Gospel of John. John chapter 1 verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." You see, John is not concerned with Bethlehem. John is not concerned with the Virgin Mary. John is not concerned where Jesus was born, where He came from. John wants to show his readers that Jesus Christ is God veiled in human flesh. All throughout the Gospel, that's what John does, is he wants to show everybody that this Jesus whom you've heard about ain't just a normal man like you and me. He is God in the flesh. Then we get to our Gospel this morning, the Gospel that we're looking at, the Gospel of Mark. In chapter 1, verse 1, he says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." So in these 16 chapters of Mark, Mark wants to show all of his readers once again that this man named Jesus is not just a normal man, but he is the Son of God. And he does that by showing a lot of miracles that Jesus performed. Most of the miracles that you find Jesus performing is right here lined out for you in the gospel of Mark. And you see, Mark shows us that Jesus has authority over disease. Because the people that came to Him that were sick, Jesus either spoke a word or touched them with His hand and the disease went going somewhere else. Jesus has authority over disease. He has authority over the demons. People came to Him that were possessed with demons, with devils, and Jesus cast them out and they had to go running somewhere else. But not only that, Jesus has authority over death. Because He walked into that little girl's room who had died, Jairus' daughter, and He raised her from the dead. And I don't know if you've noticed, but Jesus still has authority over disease, demons, and death. Still today. And I'm thankful for that. But that's what Mark wants to do for us. He wants to show very quickly, it's the shortest gospel, 16 chapters, he wants to show you very quickly about the life of Jesus. Now Mark was not an eyewitness of Jesus. He was not one of the original 12 apostles. You say, well, how in the world could he write about Jesus if he wasn't even there? The same way John could write Revelation and he hadn't even been there yet. They were both inspired by the Spirit of God to write what they wrote. That's what the Bible is. It's not just man's words. It's God's words. And you know, we come to chapter number 1 of Mark, our text this morning, and really at the beginning, Mark just gets right to it. He doesn't give much of an introduction. He just gets right to the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells us about how a man named John the Baptist came to the Jordan River and he began to baptize people in the Jordan River. And one day the Son of God, the Lamb of God comes and he wants to be baptized himself in the Jordan River. And it shows you here in chapter 1 that Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River. And then immediately, the Bible says, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan. And for 40 days, Jesus was out there fasting, no water. He was weak. And the devil tempted him every single day. But I'm so thankful Jesus came out on the winning side. Adam, in the beginning, He was in perfection. He was in the Garden of Eden. The devil came tempting him. He failed. But we get to the New Testament. The Son of God. He couldn't overcome the Son of God. And because the Son of God lives in us, we can overcome the devil too, by the way. But then the Bible says, now, in verse 14, we started reading it. John was put in prison. They were in Judea, and they throw John the Baptist in prison. So what Jesus does was He is now going to travel about 78 miles north from Judea to a place called Galilee. To a place called Galilee. And that's important because that's where the majority of His ministry took place. So Jesus began His ministry in a body of water called the Jordan River. The majority of His ministry is going to take place near a body of water called the Sea of Galilee. And if you think about it right now, Jesus' ministry in heaven is taking place around a body of water because the Bible says right before the throne there is a crystal river. That gave me something good. I don't know if it helped y'all, but it helped me. But either way, Jesus moves now into a place called Galilee. And everybody's heard of the Sea of Galilee. All the things that happened around there. You say, why is that important that He moved to the Sea of Galilee? Because it is here that He meets three of His greatest followers. Everybody knows the inner circle of Jesus. Peter, James, and... There you go. Peter, James, and John. And it was here at the Sea of Galilee that Jesus meets Peter, James, and John. And that's where we enter into our text this morning. And I want to ask you a question. Because here you see that Jesus calls them to follow Him, and they literally drop everything they have to give their life to be a disciple and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ wherever He went. And that's the question I want to ask you this morning, just for the next few minutes, is will you follow the Lord Jesus Christ too? Will you follow Him? I just want to show you three things in our text this morning, and we'll be done. The first thing that I want you to see is the call. The call, verse 17, it says, "And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me." And then in verse 20, He's talking to James and John. Straightway He called them. So you've got Peter, Andrew are brothers, James and John, they're brothers, and Jesus calls all four of them to come and follow Him and be full-time disciples. Now, I believe that these four men were already believers in who Jesus was, and I think that's in John chapter number 1. When they believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God. So I think they've already responded to the call of salvation. But it is here in Mark 1 that they respond to the call of surrender. You see, I believe God puts three calls on all of our lives. The call to salvation, the call to sanctification, and the call to surrender our lives to Him. The call to salvation. I'll never forget the day Jesus called me to come and be saved. And I'm sure thankful for that day that I was sitting on that bus and I just couldn't get up off that bus until I told my teacher, something's happening on the inside of here and I just think I need to be saved. Because Jesus was on the inside of my heart knocking, asking me to come and be saved. Come into His family. The Bible says, "Come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden and I will give you rest." If you need rest this morning, it's not found in the bed. It's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, the first time the word come is found in the Bible is in Genesis 7, verse 1. Noah had just built the ark. And it was just about time for them waters to start flooding the earth. And God said, come into the ark. And that is a picture right there of salvation because He was saved because He got on that ark. He entered through the door. Jesus said, I am the door. And He says, come unto me. Revelation 22 says, come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Anyone that is athirst, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. I hope today that there has been a day when Jesus knocked on the door of your heart and said, why don't you come into my family? Why don't you come and be saved? And you accepted that invitation. Not only the call to salvation, but also the call to sanctification. 1 Thessalonians 4:7, God has not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. You know, God wants us to live different than the rest of the world lives. And by the way, we can't live different without His power on the inside of us. We can try as hard as we can, but the Christian life is impossible without the power of God within us. He didn't just save us and say, I'll see you in heaven. He saved us and said, now let me help you live this Christian life. and make you more holy each day. But not only the call to salvation, sanctification, but here you will find the call to surrender your entire life to Him in Mark 1. See, many have responded to the call of salvation, I hope. And I even hope you've responded to the call of holiness, that you're striving to live a life that is pleasing to God. But there's not a lot of people that have surrendered to the call of surrender. Tony Evans is one of my favorite preachers to listen to, and he had a quote, and it stuck out to me. He said, "The problem in our churches today is there is a lot of Christians, but there's not a lot of disciples." In other words, what he's saying is you can be a Christian and still not surrender your life to Christ. You can be born again and still really not be fully surrendered in your daily walk and your daily life to Christ. Now, everybody knows I grew up from the time I was 4 years old to the time that I was 22 years old. All my life was wrapped around the sport of baseball. From the time that I was in 7th grade until 12th grade, I had one coach. He made a profound impact on my life. And the first day I got to practice in 7th grade, he told us a quote that I'll never forget. And because he told us just about every practice. He said, "If y'all want to be mediocre, go home." That's what he said. He said, "If you're coming here to be mediocre, you need to go home. Because that's not what we're about here. We want to be great. We want to be best. We want to beat every team that we face up against. And in order to do that, you're going to have to put in work every single practice." Now, there were some practices where we started being mediocre. And guess what that practice turned into? A track practice. We wasn't track. We was baseball. But we started acting mediocre. Started going at it halfway, going through the motions. He said, "All right, we can run." And you know, there's a lot of stuff. I don't know, some of you may know this if you played sports growing up. There's a lot of stuff you can take from sports and bring it into your relationship with Christ. And one of those things is, I think, our coach didn't want us to be mediocre. And do you know something? Neither does God. Do you know that? Listen to what Revelation. "You are neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot, but now because you are lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." In other words, Jesus said, I don't want you to be lukewarm. Everybody's seen the movie War Room. When she tried the coffee, it wasn't cold or hot, it was lukewarm, and she spit it out. She said, "This coffee is awful." And the old lady said, "Yeah, that's because nobody likes their coffee lukewarm." And what Jesus is trying to tell us is, listen, I don't want you to be halfway in this Christian life. I don't want you to be on the fence. I don't want you to be all good on Sunday and then on the other side on Monday. I want you to be all in for me. That's what He wants from us. But you know, I'm preaching to myself this morning. You can listen in if you want to. But one of the main reasons we sometimes don't surrender our whole life to Christ, I think it's because we love this world too much. Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." You know, I think that's one of our problems why we don't surrender our whole life to Christ is because we're so wrapped up in the things that are around us. I like to call it Demas disease. Demas disease. You say, what in the world is that? Paul had a friend named Demas who followed him, who was a disciple, who sold out his life to Christ. But then at the end of Paul's life, he said, 2 Timothy 4:10, "Demas hath forsaken me." Why? Because he has loved this present world. In other words, Demas was following. He was good, but then at one point in his life, he said, "You know what? I'm done with all that mess. This world is what I love." And sometimes we get so wrapped up in the things of this present world that we don't follow Christ as closely as we should. But you'll see something in our text this morning. These four men, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, there was just something different about them. For some reason, they didn't care much about this present world because obviously they literally left all that they had to say, "You know what? He's more important." And they went to follow Jesus. And you know, that's exactly what God has called us to do. He may not be calling you to preach the gospel in church. He may not even be calling you to the choir. But every single person is called to follow Him. Every single person is called to follow Him and be a disciple of Christ. So that's the first thing I want you to see this morning. Is the call. The next thing I want you to see in following Christ is not only the call, but also the cost. I want you to look at this. Verse 18. Jesus said, "Come after me, I will make you to become fishers of men." And straightway they forsook their nets and followed Him. Look at verse 20. That was Peter and Andrew. Verse 20, He calls James and John. Straightway He called them and they left. They left. So they forsook their nets, and James and John left their nets. They left their father too. You say, now they didn't have to do that in order to follow Jesus. They didn't have to leave those things. They could still be a follower of Jesus and do those things. I want you to imagine that scene. Jesus talking to Peter and Andrew and says, "Hey, come follow me." Can you imagine Peter saying, "Hold on. This is a big catch. We got to get this first." And they just get this whole, "Oh, Peter, come on, Andrew, let's carry these fish. Let's follow Jesus. We're coming, Jesus." You think they did that? "We got the fish. We'll follow you too." No. The Bible says they left it. They left it, they walked away, and they began to follow Jesus. Why? Because they realized He was more worthy than that fishing was. He was more important than the fish was. So they left all that they had to follow Him. Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters. He'll either love the one and hate the other." And you see, that's what they did. It cost them something to follow Christ. And you know, to be a close follower of Christ, it's going to cost us something too. It's easy for us to look in the Bible and say, "Yeah, I know it cost them something, but we can be a follower of Christ and not have to sacrifice anything." It's very easy for us to look at that. "Yeah, that was 2,000 years ago. We don't have to do that now." I want you to listen to this. I want you to turn here. I'll read it to you. Luke 14. This is what Jesus says. Now this is an interesting verse. He said, "If any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple." Jesus just said, unless you hate your father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, you can't be my disciple. Goes a little bit different than what he usually said. Listen, what Jesus is not saying is that in order to follow me, you need to leave your wife. That would go against the other teaching of Scripture. In order to follow me, you just need to forsake your kids. Don't worry about your responsibility to them. That would go against Scripture. But what he is saying is, if your wife, children, brothers, and sisters are more important to you than me, this ain't gonna work. And then he said, unless you forsake all that you have, you can't be my disciple. That's a big verse right there. What he's saying is, listen, don't let those things become more important to you than me. Because unless they're the most important thing in your life, you cannot be my disciple. So let me ask you a question this morning that we all probably are going to say yes to. Do you want to follow Christ closer in your life? Amen. Most of us will say yes. But do you realize it's going to take sacrifice? It's going to take us giving up some things in order to follow Him closer. You say, what in the world am I going to have to give up to be a closer follower of Christ? Well, this is an obvious one. If you are going to be a closer follower of Christ, you must leave behind certain sins that you're playing around with. Listen to what the Bible says, Hebrews 12, verse 1. "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." He said, lay it aside because it's a weight to you. You wouldn't run a 100-meter race with ankle weights on because it would hold you back. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying, you cannot run the Christian life playing around in sin. Because what's it going to do? Hold you back. Now, I'm not telling you you're going to wake up and go sinless for the next 30 years, but what I am telling you is because we have the power of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, we don't have to live in defeat to sin. Do you know that? God does not want us to live defeated every day by our sin, but He's given us Himself so that we might become victorious over it. Now, if we're honest, most of us all have that one sin that we struggle with. What is that one sin that you struggle with? That you realize it's holding you back from your relationship with Christ? What if I told you today that if you ask God to help you with it, He'd help you overcome it? Do you believe that? I've seen it before. In my life, in your life, in plenty of people's lives, if you'll just ask Him, say, God, I need help. This is a struggle. This is hurting. This is holding me back. And I need Your help to help me get over this. He'll help you get over it. If you'll submit to Him. But I want you to see what they had to leave behind. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they had to leave behind the fish. How many of you like to fish? Now, I'm not telling you, you got to stop fishing. But listen, when we went to the Israel over in 2017, there were people, we got to take a boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. And there were people still standing around on the shore and still people on their boats that were fishing. Why? Because that's their source of food. Not only is it their source of food, but for most of them, it's their source of income. They make their, that's what their business is, to catch fish. Not only that, that's what their food is, to catch fish. And I believe 2,000 years ago, that's why Peter, Andrew, James, and John were out there. Not only for food, but for their business, to make money. It was their source of income. But look, when Jesus said, come after me and follow me, they threw it off and said, He's more important. Now let me ask us a question. What's more important to us? Your checking account or your relationship with Jesus Christ? I can tell you which one's more important. Which one do we think about more? Throughout the time that you're awake every day, which one do you think about more in your mind? How much money you got and spending? How can you grow in your relationship with Christ? Which one do you think about more? That's the one that's more important. Now, what I'm not telling you this morning is that we don't need money. We need money. But you know what you need more than money? The Lord Jesus Christ. Money can't give you peace. Jesus can. Money can't give you joy. Jesus can. And money sure can't give you eternal life. But Jesus can. And do you know what else Jesus can give you? Money. He'll provide for us. Hadn't He done it in the past? He don't just give us things on the inside of us that are spiritual. God is a good God who gives us even material things to enjoy. So I'm not telling you to walk into your job tomorrow and say, bye. But I am telling you, what's more important? That or your relationship with Christ? That's temporal. Your relationship with Christ is eternal. Not only did they leave behind their fish, verse 20 says they left behind their family. And that probably would have been tough for James and John. I don't know how old they were. But they were in business with their father Zebedee, it looks like. And when Jesus said, come after me, James and John, they looked at their father and said, bye. Charles Stanley said, the three greatest things that hold us back from following Christ is fear, family, and finances. Don't let fear hold you back from being a follower of Jesus. Don't let your finances hold you back from following Jesus. And don't let your family keep you from following Jesus. These men did not. And they found the greatest life that anybody's ever found. Being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, like I said, there's a cost in this. It's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take giving up some things. Now, last week I talked about going to the gym. I don't know why I'm on going to the gym. But if you want to go to the gym and you want to lose 30 pounds, and you say, I'm going to hire me a personal trainer to help me lose 30 pounds, and you say, hey, sir, by this year, I want to lose 30 pounds. And that dude looks at you and says, oh, that's going to be easy. Guess what he's doing? Lying. He just wants your money. Because guess what? That ain't going to be easy. It's going to take sacrifice. You're going to have to give up sweets. You're going to have to give up chicken and burgers. And that's why I don't want to lose 30 pounds. But you know, in order to do that, you're going to have to give up some things. Everybody knows that. If you want to lose weight, you've got to give up certain things. And most people give it up. Most people give up burgers and sweets and all these things just so they can lose weight. And that's a good thing, just so they can be healthier. But what have we given up so we can be godlier? What have we given up so we can be a better follower of Christ over the last 12 months? What is something you said, I'm not going to do that anymore because I want Jesus more than I want that? Some of the things that God wants us to do is very simple. I told you we get wrapped up in this world a lot. Instead of watching TV for 3 hours tonight, take the last 45 minutes and say, I'm going to read my Bible instead. Instead of sleeping for 45 minutes before you go to work, set your clock 45 minutes earlier and get up and read your Bible and talk to God. Give up sleep, give up certain things so that you can grow in your relationship with Christ. It's those very simple and small things that help us grow the most when you give them up. So if there's just one thing that I want you to take away today, I want you to ask God, what do you want me to give up so I can follow you closer? What is there in my life that is hindering my relationship with you? It may not be bad, it may not be a sin, but it could be something that's more important than Him. So what is there in your life that God wants you to give up so you can be closer to Him? Now, I'm almost done. Third thing, not only following Jesus is the call of the cost, but thirdly, you'll see the consequences of following Jesus. I want you to think about this. Peter, Andrew, James, and John. If they wouldn't have said yes right here and gave all that they had to follow Jesus, I want you to think about this question. Think about what they would have missed. Do you realize what these men would have missed if they wouldn't have followed Jesus so closely? They would have never saw Jesus walk on top of the water. That is something all of us dream to see. And if they never would have followed Jesus, they wouldn't have got to see it. They would have never seen Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. They wouldn't have seen, even Peter wouldn't have got to walk on water himself. And John would have never seen the book of Revelation. Jesus would have got somebody else. Think about what these guys would have missed if they'd have said, no, we got more important stuff to do. You know, the cost might be high to following Jesus, but did you know the benefits are so worth it? We don't follow Jesus for the benefits, but there are benefits to following Jesus. I want you to listen to this. Mark chapter number 10 and verse number 28. Peter is looking at Jesus, and Peter looks at him and says, "Behold, we have left everything and have followed thee." In other words, Jesus, we did leave everything. I know some of them didn't, but we did. And Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house, brothers, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold. Now in this time, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and lands, and with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." In other words, Jesus said, those things that you gave up to follow me, I'll give you 100 times more than the things that you have. I think it was at the end of the book of Job. God gave Job 2 times as much as he had. You know what Jesus said to his disciples? He said, all that stuff you left, I'll give you 100 times more than what you had. Because you see, the brothers and the sisters that you leave to follow Christ, you're gonna gain 100 times as much brothers and sisters in the family of God. Listen to what one of the study Bibles I have say. Don't forfeit eternal rewards for temporary benefits. Be willing to make sacrifices now for greater rewards later. Jesus said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. It was all the stuff we worked so hard with down here and their treasures down here. One day when we're gone, they're staying. And Jesus said, don't worry about all the stuff down here because it's going to be gone. Worry about the rewards in heaven. Because those are eternal. Now the question that I asked you a while ago, what are you going to miss if you don't surrender your life to Christ? Did you know God has a plan for each and every one of your lives? Doesn't matter if you're 85 or 5, God has a plan for you. But did you know you can miss that plan? You don't have to get that plan. You don't have to receive that plan. You can miss it. God had a plan for the Israelites, take them into the promised land, but guess what? They missed it, didn't they? Why? Because they disobeyed God and said, no, we're not going in. And did you know God has a plan for you? He's got something for you, but you can literally miss it if you do not obey Him in your life. And one of the scariest things that I can ever think is, what am I going to miss if I don't obey God? And I'm scared for you. What are you going to miss? Because I don't want you to miss out on the greatest blessing you've ever seen, God's plan for your life. Because the last thing I want to do one day is look back and say, man, what could have happened if I'd have just obeyed God? That is a regret that I never want to have, to look back and say, if I'd have just obeyed God, what would have happened? You know, one of the greatest hymns of the faith is, I have decided to follow Jesus. Most of you probably know how that song came about. Most of you may not. There was a man in India and his family. I think he had two boys and a wife. They were in a tribe that was worshiping idols. None of them even knew who Jesus was. But one day, this man came to faith in Jesus. So did his wife, and so did his two boys. The tribe leader found out that they had come to faith in Jesus, and they lined them up before the tribe and said, We hear that you are worshiping a God that nobody else worships. You either give Him up or you die. And you know what the man said? I've decided to follow Jesus. Do you know what he did? He took an arrow, shot both of his boys, killed them. He said, recant your faith in this Jesus or you die. You know what he said? No turning back. No turning back. You know what he did? He shot his wife. And the man is just looking at him saying, this is absolutely unreal that you are dying for somebody you can't even see. And he said, recant your faith in Jesus or you die. And he said, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back. And that man got shot. And you know what happened in that village? They all started to talk about how these four people were willing to give their life for somebody who they could not even see. And history will tell you that those people that watched that family get murdered because of their faith in Jesus, most of them came to faith in Jesus Christ because of their witness. Most of that tribe said, you know what, if they're willing to give their life for somebody like that, I want to try it. And they got born again. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. There's a lot of things in this world that call out to you, that call out to me and say, this looks more fun, this looks more appetizing, this looks better, this looks more fulfilling. But help us right here and right now to say that. I have decided to follow Jesus no matter how many more years I have left in my life. I'm not turning back. I'm not going back. The world's back there and the cross is right there. And it's in church to where you and I make them decisions. To say, you know what? I've decided to follow Jesus. Musicians, you can come. There's so many things in this world that want to pull us back. But make the decision today. Follow Christ. And I'll tell you one thing. You'll never regret it. You'll never regret deciding to follow Jesus. If you would all stand to your feet this morning. I don't know if there's somebody in here who has never accepted the invitation to come to Christ. Who has never truly been born again and received Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior. And my prayer for you today is that if you've never done that, today would be the day. And you know what? I'll pray for you. That if you haven't trusted in Christ, I'm praying that you will. Don't let another day pass by. If He's knocking, He's saying come. So obey Him and come to Christ. For those of us who are born again, He may be knocking at your door again saying, you know what, yes, I do live on the inside of you, but I want you to follow me even closer. Accept that too. And accept that invitation to say, today, I'm going to follow Christ closer in my life. Father, thank You for Your Word this morning. And I pray that You'll help us as a church family to decide right now that we're going to follow Jesus. And we're not going to turn back. Because He gave His all for us. The least we can do is follow Him with our life. Lord, we love You. We praise You. Have Your will and Your way in this invitation. If anybody needs to come to Christ, you can come right down here. I'll open up this Bible and show you how you can be saved today.